Over a 35-year period, the length of forest fire seasons worldwide increased by nearly 19%. That's according to South Dakota State University professor and wildfire expert Mark Cochran. He's part of a team that researched weather data from 1979 to 2013 to determine the impact changing climate has had on forest ecosystems. He's a senior scientist at the Geospatial Sciences Center of Excellence. Cochran has also been researching what impact major droughts have had on the Amazon rainforest. He was in Brazil last week, but he joins us on the line now from his office at SDSU. And Professor Cochran, thanks for joining us on Dakota Midday.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, what's causing the longer forest fire seasons worldwide?
Well, basically, it's changing climate. And as we warm the planet, we change how moisture is distributed around the world.
And are we seeing, in general, greater wildfire surges than in recent years?
Not so much in terms of area, but some of severity. We see some really challenging fires, and we see certain regions that are being intensely impacted, such as the western U.S. right now, and as well as the Amazon and Brazil and a number of other places that have had, until now, previously unprecedented wildfire seasons.
So we're seeing this worldwide then? Or are there some places that yet still don't quite have those longer forest fire seasons?
Yeah, that's the problem with averages. On average, you know, 18.7% is getting worse, but nobody gets the average condition. What we see is in about a quarter of the planet, it's really being concentrated severely. Another section is having less, and this is what you would expect over time. Some places worse, some places less, but that should balance out. What we see, though, is that more and more areas having more severe conditions, and not so much areas balancing that out. And so in combination with that kind of average condition, we have variability such that, you know, roughly, you know, we've doubled the amount of area that has been exposed to these very long periods of dry conditions when we can have large wildfires. So much more of the planet is being affected negatively than positively, shall we say.
This data from 1979 to 2013, why these years? That's just the most recent data that you have?
Yeah, it's basically it's where we had enough data to look at in this detail globally. So we took three different data sets that had daily weather across the entire planet, and we integrated that with three different metrics of fire danger. So, for example, the U.S. has one that we maintain, Canada another, and Australia a third. So what we did is created nine independent models from this and then put it together in what we call an ensemble model that averages things out in a way to try to minimize errors and look for where we have agreement in the models to show where the change has been significant.
Now, this team that you're a part of, Professor Cochran, this is part of U.S. Forest Service lab team?
No. This is NASA funding that we have here at South Dakota State, and then we teamed up with personnel over at the fire lab of the Forest Service, and together as a team we've been looking at this for over 4 years to get to this point where we could actually try to understand what the changes are globally.
Now, understanding the changes, then from there, what are you seeing as far as the impact this is having, you know, because fires are a natural part of a forest ecosystem, so what impact does do these longer fire seasons have worldwide?
Yeah, it's a good question, because right now what we're showing is you have the conditions for fire, so it can be dry enough, long enough. Now, having the ability to burn doesn't mean you will burn. What you need is then an ignition source to start the fire. So we have things like California last year was primed to burn very severely, but it didn't have that bad of a fire season. This year is it's starting up a little worse. But what you'll have over time is more likelihood to burn, and therefore you will have more fires. And when you have fires, you're more likely to have them be very severe because you'll be in extreme dry conditions. So, for example, 35 years ago, roughly 10% of the planet would have a very long, severe fire season in any given year. Now, 35 years later, it's 20% of the planet. So we've more than doubled the amount of the planet that is annually experiencing these very long fire seasons. So what this means over time is that you will have more challenging fire conditions for more of the vegetated land surface. And since all vegetation is ideally in balance with its climate and its normal fire regime, this means there's pressure on a large percentage of the world's vegetation to change and adapt to the new fire seasons.
So how long does it take the vegetation to change and adapt? That sounds like something that takes many, many years.
Yeah, it will depend on the vegetation, what it is. So a grassland may adapt more quickly, but a forest may not. So you may see some areas of forest that actually will, we call them type changes, but it just means you lose the forest and it has to go to some kind of a shrub or a grassland. Or it takes a while for the trees that are more adapted to that sort of a system to be able to move in and then grow. The problem we have, though, is it's not just stabilizing at some new point, it's continuing to shift. So we look at places like Brazil and the Amazon and the Cerrado regions there. Their fire seasons have actually increased by, in 35 years, it's increased by 33 days. So over a month longer of severe fire season in that region, which puts an extreme amount of stress on those systems. So once it finally stabilizes, you know, we'd have some hope of trying to figure out when things would adapt, but as things keep shifting, we really don't know how long it'll be before we get to a system that's more stable again.
And what is the impact of the longer fire seasons on the atmosphere and terrestrial systems?
Well, basically what we're talking about, on any given year, we get about 350 million hectares of vegetated land surface that might burn. And it can be, you know, more severe or less severe in any given year, but it can add up to about 50% of the amount of emissions that we put out with fossil fuels every year, for example. Well, now that we're burning, you know, we don't know it's more area yet, but, you know, more severely, we're more likely to release more carbon from the land. So one of the great carbon sinks we have is that vegetation grows. So even though we've increased carbon in the atmosphere, a lot of vegetation will soak it up and grow bigger. But now if we have more fire on that landscape, we will tend to release that carbon. So this could act as a positive feedback, releasing more carbon to the atmosphere.
Now, looking at the longer forest fire seasons, what does this mean for the way that forests are managed and how forest managers deal with wildfire suppression, for example?
Well, first of all, it probably means that things are more expensive, and as it has been, we're spending about $1.7 billion a year on average as it is in the U.S., and similar in Canada, has got another billion, and you know, Australia is looking at large amounts. But when you have longer fire seasons under more severe conditions, you have a chance for larger fires, and that's what we've been seeing over the last several decades, is that we're tending to have more very large fires, and when you get very large fires, they're harder to control. So we're seeing greater challenge for fire management. So they do a number of things, including trying to have prescribed burns or thinning out some areas like we see here in the Black Hills, for example. And that can work in some areas, but you can't reasonably treat large landscapes. So it just makes a much more challenging condition for any sort of fire management going forward.
Now, Professor Cochran, you were in Brazil last week?
Yes, I was.
And is that part of the ongoing research connected with this, or is this separate into the looking at the biodiversity of the rainforest there?
Oh, well, kind of both. I've been working down there for over 20 years, but no, this particular project, we were focused more on Brazil, Australia, and the U.S., but then we did this global study to kind of put everything in context. But one of the things we are looking at is how fire is changing, and that's what I've been doing my whole career, looking in the Amazon, and now we're looking down into the area south of the Amazon, which is called the Cerrado, which is a large kind of shrub and small tree system there, savanna.
Now the Amazon has had, about 10 years ago, some severe drought?
Oh, we had a couple unprecedented droughts, or call at least 100-year events or more, both in 2005 and 2010. One of the main issues right now in that whole region is it's very dry and we're having more fires, but that is the whole area that provides the water that drives both the hydroelectric systems in Brazil and also feeds into places like São Paulo, which is the kind of financial capital of Brazil. And currently there, they're looking at extreme water stress such that the city itself is facing major restrictions on water use and some catastrophic scenarios, because they have not had enough water for a long time, so that electricity rates have doubled, for example, and right now the city there itself is trying to figure out what to do without water.
Now, the Amazon rainforest fires, how many are natural and how many are man-made? We hear all about the cutting down of rainforests for logging and agriculture and other settlement and that sort of thing.
Yeah, in that region, they're virtually all caused by people. It's a rainforest, so it tends not to burn. There could be some very long-term natural fires. I've seen one ignition naturally, but it got put out by a rainstorm shortly thereafter. You tend to get heavy rains together with lightning, so you don't get a lot of natural fire. You also need conditions that are extremely long droughts of more than a month, maybe more than 2 months before those forests can burn naturally. But what we've done there is we've cleared areas along the edges, so we've fragmented that forest. We've gone in and logged it and opened up the canopy, so it tends to, it basically bleeds moisture and it dries out faster than it used to. Now that we can do that, and we're always setting fires on the edges because we're trying to both clear new lands and manage the lands that are cleared, because we're trying to keep the trees from growing back in their fields, for example. So we always have fires ongoing in those regions, and so it's just a matter of time before those fires enter into the remaining forest. And that's why we've been getting a lot more fires in that region over the last few decades as we've settled more and more of it.
What is Brazil doing presently to protect rainforests?
Well, they've actually been doing a really good job of trying to cut down on deforestation, for one. And so deforestation rates have dropped dramatically, 70% or more in the last 10 years. So that has been very good. But what we saw was that initially, the first year they started this process, fires dropped off dramatically. But the next year they came back to what they were previously, and it's been a bit of a conundrum. But what's going on there is, so much of that area has been opened already, and it dries out so fast, and people still use fire to manage the cleared lands. It's not about just where we're doing new deforestation. It's all the areas that were already cleared. So all it takes is a few fires here and there, and now it's all grassland and shrubland in between, and allows these fires to spread rapidly. And we have so much forest edge that's been damaged previously, we get a lot more fire than you would have, say, if we had stopped this process 20 years ago. So the fire hasn't really dropped off as fast as the deforestation has, but they've been doing things like increasing the amount of protected lands. They have a national park system that rivals our own now, so they have huge areas they've been trying to protect, but there is a large area of the Amazon rainforest that has already been opened up, and because of our land use with more fire, it's more at risk.
Now, what's the, is the increase, those droughts, those severe droughts that they've experienced, is that connected with the deforestation, that's part of what's caused the droughts?
Yeah, well, it quite likely is. We do know that for the rainfall in the Amazon, somewhere between 25 and 50% of all the rain is effectively recycled by the trees themselves. So they have evapotranspiration. They basically tree sweat back into the atmosphere. And so that'll condense and create more rain a little further on. And somewhere between a quarter and a half of all the rain is coming from that. But now that we've cleared roughly 20% of the Amazon, that's cut down on the amount of moisture that gets recycled back into the atmosphere, so that in itself increases any droughts that we have. And one of the things we see there and globally is an increase in the number of what we call rain-free days. So even if annually you get the same amount of rain, what you tend to get is more rain on fewer days, which leaves more days with no rain, and that exacerbates the fire situation.
Can cleared rainforest, can that come back?
Well, it can in some areas, especially if it's a small clearing recently. But the longer things are cleared and the larger those cleared areas are, the harder it is to bring it back as a rainforest, because those trees, they don't disseminate seeds very far. They're basically large seeds. They fall as far as the limb on the edge of the tree. So in order to bring it back, you need active management or a very long time. Several places, there are people doing trying to regrow plantation forests, but native forests will take a very long time or an extended amount of help, if you will, to reforest those areas.
Going back to the study about the lengthening forest fire seasons worldwide, you've got this research. What happens now with that study? Is this applied to anything?
Yeah, well, basically now what we have to do is try to look at which areas are most at risk and why, and it helps people to try to look at how they can manage those systems or where they have to mitigate or adapt. It also lends, more pressure to the ongoing amount to try to do something about climate change. It's changing systems everywhere. This basically helps us decide what else we need to look at. We have to now determine, are we seeing many more fires in terms of ignitions, or are we just seeing things burn more severely? Are we seeing systems that are not returning to the ecosystems that were there previously? So are we changing large areas?
So kind of taking this the data and then just kind of parsing it out more and trying to find out why and what exactly does this mean?
Yeah, and how it impacts things, I mean, in terms of carbon emissions and such, and also following this and seeing, you know, this trend, does it continue like this, or is it going to somehow come back? But we can't see how it does. We've looked at this for decades now, and the way it's changing, it's not a random sort of event.
Well, Professor Cochran, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us on Dakota Midday.
Okay, thank you for having me.